Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. The 2016 election cycle has officially started, and what we're seeing right now is the results of the great work we did in 2014 and 2015. News media across the country are covering government mistakes, calling for government shutdowns, calling for shutdowns of government departments more than they ever have before. Right now, I'm looking at an article from Newsweek that is examining errors in TSA, showing that working for TSA were 73 people who were on the terror watch list. In other words, the TSA, whose job it is to screen for terrorism, had accidentally, through sheer government incompetence, hired 73 workers to work at the airport to screen for terrorism. In Nevada, we saw a groundbreaking law passed that said that people are allowed to take their kids out of public school and use that money for any education of their choice, government approved or otherwise. More and more people are realizing that government is not the solution, that government is the problem, that government is the enemy, that government does more to threaten civil and financial liberty than any other thing on the planet. More and more people are realizing that you get robbed more by the government than you would be if you got burglarized every month. And the biggest part of that is the government's various wars. Whether it's the government's endless war on drugs, which has incarcerated more people per capita in America than anywhere else on Earth, or their war on terror, which literally created ISIS. The war on terror that was directly responsible for the tragic events we saw a few days ago. Whether it's one war or the other, the government's wars are doing more to harm freedom and harm security than anything else. My first guest today is Sean Hall. And if you remember his record-breaking campaign in 2014 when he ran for Senate, you saw how his campaign brought more attention to the problem of war than I think any other campaign that year. Sean, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Sean, let's talk. I want to first do a quick recap of your election, your campaign in 2014. You know, we have so many new people coming to the Libertarian Party every week, every day, that many just weren't even around then. So what? Tell me a little bit about that campaign. Let's give our listeners a summary.
Well, it's interesting. Back at the beginning of the campaign in January or early February of 2014, I was fairly happily retired from politics, but I just saw this huge opportunity that we needed to have a strong libertarian voice in my particular Senate race, which was the incumbent Kay Hagan and the Republican who beat her, our House Speaker at the time, Tom Tillis. And I knew that neither one of them was going to talk about the problems that you just discussed, you know, that the price that we have to pay here at home, not to mention around the world, for our wars, not just our, you know, literal war in the Middle East and elsewhere, but our war on drugs, our culture wars, our whole war mentality. And while I feel very good about having gotten that message out over the course of 2014 and having drawn a lot of new libertarian voters because of my message, it's just since then, things have gotten even worse. I saw Lindsey Graham today, he's running for president, saying we need to authorize the president to just have a war that's not restricted by national borders or time or space or the laws of physics or anything. You know, just go out and kill all the people we want to wherever they are. And then once, if it's anything like our drone warfare, just after the fact, label them all terrorists, whether they were innocent civilians or not. But we're seeing right now this huge issue of refugees coming into the country, which is very much like the immigration problems that we have up to this point. And if we want to solve these problems, we need to get to the root of what's causing these problems. And in this particular case, it's our war in the Middle East. In the case of immigrants coming up from countries to the south of us, it's our war on drugs that are making life untenable for people around the world. So they have to flee. They have to go somewhere where they're less likely to get shot. You know, and but people don't want to, in order to address the roots of these problems, we have to admit our own errors, and a lot of people just don't want to do that. So I'm going to be running again in 2016 against Richard Burr in Kentucky, North Carolina, and whoever the Democrats put up, with very much the same message. Although this time I want to include a lot more about the economy, because I don't think people are really talking about that. And that's the core issue that most people care about.
One of the things that was especially significant, I believe, from a national perspective, was the amount of media coverage that your campaign got. If I was going to attempt to put a price tag, I mean, I don't know that I really could exactly, because, you know, we can talk about how much that much advertising would have cost on TV, but that doesn't really tell it, because people watch a show more than they're going to pay attention to the ads. But if I was going to attempt to quantify the amount of media coverage you got, I would have to say it's at least in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, basically going towards the cause of liberty. What were some of the highlights? I mean, what were the bigger media coverage that you got last time, and how do you think we can leverage those into media coverage in 2016?
Well, I'll take the last question first. I feel that I'm employed as a pizza delivery person. And that was sort of a hook. It's like, oh, the pizza delivery guy is running for U.S. Senate. It's an interesting story. You want to give the media narratives. You know, so since I come from a customer service perspective, I'm thinking of them in terms of my clients or my customers. I want to give them a story that they're going to be excited to cover, and give them such good story that they'll keep coming back for more. And the first major national article on my campaign was done by Karen Tumulty of the Washington Post. And then that quickly led to a whole lot of national media. I was on just about every national platform except for CNN. And the only reason why CNN didn't cover me is they absolutely insisted on getting film of me on the job delivering pizza, which I wouldn't allow. They thought that was the whole story. But, you know, I was on Hardball, and I think probably one of my favorite moments in the campaign was when Chris Matthews asked me, well, you know, you're a libertarian. What big government program would you get rid of first? You know, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, what? You know, and I just gave him this look. It's like, war? Of course. So, you know, war is the biggest government program that we need to get rid of immediately. And so one thing that was funny to me about it was people would ask me, you know, listen to my campaign where I'm saying stop all war, and then they'd get me on their show, and I'd say, oh, stop all war, and they'd act like they were all surprised. Like, oh, where did this come from? But having a consistent, coherent message, well told, you know, trying to keep everything tight, probably a little tighter than I am right now, you know, just being able to give people, you know, something that is a bit different, but when they look at it, they think, wow, this guy's actually making sense, the kind of sense I haven't heard in a long time. And libertarians have a tremendous ability to do that, even more in 2016 than we did in 2014, where people are just hungering for different solutions. They know the status quo isn't working. They'll even turn to people like Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or Ben Carson just because they're outsiders. So we have an opportunity to be the sane outsiders, to be like normal people, you know, people like your neighbors, but who have sound policy solutions for real problems.
Now, right after this break, I want to talk about some of the benefits that, people will see. I mean, we have so many people who are clamoring for war right now and honestly all the time, and they're all talking about how war does this thing that they consider positive and this other thing that they consider positive, but they forget that stopping war actually can bring quite a few benefits. So I want to talk about those right after this break. First, let me ask this. If somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, where should they go?
Well, right now, I'm really active on Twitter, Emperor Sean on Twitter. I've got a website, seanhaw.com. It's still a bit of a tumbleweed from last time, but that should be fully functional in about 3 weeks.
Awesome. Now, guys, you've seen the amazing work that Sean Haw did in 2014. That was literally bringing hundreds of thousands of dollars of media coverage to libertarian ideas. That was literally showing millions of people that stopping war is actually better. That stopping war is good for commerce. It's good for safety. It's good for security. It's good for everybody. But Sean can't do this by himself. And let me ask you to look at it this way. Let's say that your campaign gets one-tenth the media coverage that Sean Haw does. That is the equivalent of donating $100,000 or $50,000 to the cause of liberty. All you need to do is run for office, talk about real libertarian solutions to these problems, talk about cutting government, ending war, downsizing departments, and you can make a humongous difference just by running for office. There's nothing you can do that's going to have a greater effect than that. And if you want to learn how to do that, you need to get to lp.org/states to get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We're right now talking with Sean Haw. We'll be right back right after this.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
No matter what your current situation is, you have a unique story to your life. It's a dynamically changing story that requires constant adjustments to lifestyle and environment. That includes your home. As you continue to enhance your living space, you are also making overall improvements to increase the value of your home. Join Laura Minniff each Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time for dynamic insights for your home environment on the Voice America Variety Channel. And start living now.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. With me right now is Sean Haw. He's a candidate for U.S. Senate running in South Carolina, right? Or is it North Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Sorry, running for U.S. Senate in North Carolina. In 2014, his campaign got hundreds of thousands of dollars in media coverage on shows all across the country, covering the Washington Post, Hardball, and many other places. He's running again, and he wants to bring the message of stopping war and libertarian solutions to improving the economy. Sean, what do you see are some of the benefits that we get when people run for office? If somebody runs for office, how does that help, even if they don't win? How does that help?
Oh, gosh. Well, I call it the power of the title. Mm-hmm. When I filed for the United States Senate in 2014, I immediately changed from just some guy in Durham to United States Senate candidate. And that meant the difference between me, you know, maybe calling up the media and trying to get some coverage and maybe being ignored, versus them calling me. I mean, one of the great things about running for office is that all kinds of media folks will call you up and ask for your opinion on things, and then they'll publish it. And they're generally very good about quoting you directly. So there are just so many opportunities to talk to people and to get your particular libertarian message out at any level, whether it's, you know, running for state house or county commissioner, or, you know, all the way up to governor or U.S. Senate. And the more libertarian voices that we have out there, the more people are going to be able to see that we're normal people. So, you know, we're your neighbors, and that you can take, you know, my approach of talking about, you know, federal issues of war. I feel like my issues were more appropriate for a federal campaign. But there, on every single issue, whatever you're passionate about, there's a libertarian solution that you can articulate that people want to hear. So it is just, I was stunned. I've been preaching this for a long time. I've been involved in the Libertarian Party consistently since 1994 and run for office several times. But even this last time, even I was taken aback by just how much people really wanted to hear libertarian messages in politics, and we're just so grateful. And as like I said before, so many people said, oh my word, you're like the first person that's ever made any sense. You're saying what I believe. We have an opportunity to connect with what people already know, that government is just not working.
Let me ask this. You know, everyone says that more war is going to give us this, is going to give us this, going to give us this other random thing. But what will stopping war do? We talk so much about it, stopping war. Why is that good for, you know, the average American? You know, someone like me is just, you know, let's say all I'm concerned about is, you know, running my business, you know, basically having a comfortable life. How does stopping war help someone like that?
Well, the first thing is that we'll stop spending all of this money on war. Mm-hmm. A very large chunk of our GDP goes to our war machine. And so if we stopped all of our spending on war and on shipping arms all over the world, that would free up that section of the economy to stay with the people. This is one reason why I want to talk a little bit more about economic issues this time than I did last time, mostly because I don't really see Democrats and Republicans addressing them. They want to talk about the social issues and the foreign policy issues too, and those are very important. But one thing I really want to try to demonstrate to people is just how big a bite government takes out of our entire economy, and what your life could be like if you could keep all of the money that you are. That you have a right to your money, and that the way the system is set up right now, so much of it is taken to pay for things that you do not want and don't benefit you. And then when you look at a lot of various issues, too, I've already touched on the immigration and refugee issues. You know, if we stop our wars, we're going to stop those, we're going to stop that influx of people fleeing, their situations in other countries to try to come here. We're going to be able to make these countries more prosperous. We'll make them better trading partners, so that we're going to have, more wealth created all over the world, and we as American consumers are going to benefit from that. And by giving people economic liberty, around the world, once they start making their own money, they're going to think, oh, well, I like all these freedoms that come with having my own money, and maybe I want to try to change my government in my home country to resist totalitarianism and become more free. So we can lead. We used to be a leader by example in this country of peace and prosperity. And if we can return to that moral leadership again, and just show people a better way of living, I think it could lead the whole world into a much better place than we are now. And that just benefits everybody.
And I think there's quite a bit of truth to that. I mean, we've seen that while using the brute, stupid force of military bombardment inexplicably hasn't changed anybody's personal or cultural perspectives, we have seen that American media and culture has spread. That the only places in the world where American media and culture are not becoming more and more and more popular, where American ideas aren't just spreading everywhere, that only doesn't happen in the places that we bomb and occupy. Essentially, well, everywhere else.
Not exactly something to win hearts and minds. But I mean, one thing that's come out that I'd already talked about in the last campaign that's come out a lot more since then are all of the examples of how we have directly aided ISIS in particular and aided our avowed enemies around the world. I mean, we now have pictures of ISIS in all these shiny, bright new Toyota trucks and SUVs that we put into the region with all kinds of American-made weapons that we have put into the region. So besides the positives, I mean, it's very important to show the positives. People want to know what's in it for me. But I also have that opportunity to show the negatives. Well, you know, these are the results of what we've done, and it's only made our problems worse. And now all these politicians are saying, oh, you know, the Republicans with war, let's just double down on what we're doing. It's just as crazy as people on the left saying, oh, our schools are failing, so let's just throw more money at them. let's just do twice as much as of what we've of our failed policies.
Of what doesn't work.
That's all we've got.
And so much of that, I mean, we have Republicans all across the country who have correctly realized that Washington, D.C., for example, doesn't know too much about education in, well, anywhere, but certainly not education in Texas or California or even Maryland. And so conservatives are saying, listen, federal government, stay out of our schools, stay out of our lives. You don't understand what we're about. You, like, just mind your own business. But of course, the question is this, as little as they understand, as the government understands about Austin, how much less do they understand about Baghdad? How much less do they understand about all these places where they're ineffectively attempting to put up puppet governments or to just bomb people into submission or whatever it is they're trying to do that is clearly just spawning more terrorism? It is just jaw-dropping to me how absurd this approach has become.
Oh, yeah. And so that, and the average person can see it. The average person, I think the average voter is a lot smarter than people give them credit for. They certainly understand the economy, at least as it relates to them personally. They understand education as it relates to them personally. And even though these things are happening in other places, it's getting to the point now where they understand war and how it affects them personally here at home, too. And so people will stay with the Democrats and Republicans as long as they're not given a viable alternative. But as soon as we do, as soon as a libertarian gets up and starts talking some sense to people, a lot of people are going to gravitate to that immediately, and then that's just going to continue to grow and grow as more and more people say, oh, we want more of this. And sort of getting back to the previous question, part of the value of a libertarian running for office is that we moved the Democrats and Republicans in our direction. I got 3.75% of the vote, and the way the Democrats and Republicans look at that, and I know that because the Democrats lost, they're looking at it this way. It's like, oh my word, we are losing this section of the electorate. What can we do to get them back? And the only way to do it is to become more peaceful and to become more libertarian. And as you saw the one debate that I was in with my two opponents, you saw my Republican opponent, Tom Tillis, who eventually won, say several times that he agreed with me because he had to move in my direction in order to try to capture some of the voters that he perceived I was taking from him.
Absolutely.
So the louder that we can get and the more we can run, the more we can make everybody move in our direction.
And I think that's 100% true. Sean, thank you so much for sharing both your experience and your insights and your plans for this future election. And if you want to learn more about your campaign, they should go to, remind us, Emperor Sean on Twitter, right?
Emperor Sean on Twitter, and my campaign site from last time, seanhaugh.com, S-E-A-N-H-A-U-G-H, is still up there. I also have a Facebook page, Haugh for Senate.
Awesome. All right, Sean, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for what you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks very much. Guys, we just finished talking with Sean Haugh. He's running for Senate in North Carolina, and you saw the amazing work that he's done. You've seen how much media coverage and how much persuasion, how much political pressure that one campaign did. Now, what if that one campaign wasn't one campaign, but was 100 campaigns, or 1,000 campaigns, or 10,000 campaigns? Now, for that to happen, we're going to need your help, and you need to do what I'm planning to do, which is run for office this year, 2016. If you want to do that, go to lp.org/states and see how to get involved in a libertarian campaign in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day, we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control, and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling, whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. across the country right now, more and more people are stepping up to run for office as libertarians. My next guest is Jordan Hansen. He's running for the 54th State Assembly in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Jordan, let's talk about some of the issues that are right now just at the front of so many people's minds. And I'm talking about ways that we can get the government out of our lives, ways that we can improve our lives while simultaneously cutting government, while simultaneously cutting taxes. What are some of those ways coming from Wisconsin?
Well, one of the bigger issues that's becoming pretty well talked about here in Wisconsin, as other states have begun implementing it, is marijuana legalization. You know, here in Wisconsin, just like almost every other state in the country, marijuana is still illegal. People are still going to jail, getting busted for possessing a plant, and I think that's wrong, you know?
Now, when the opponents of legalization speak, they'll usually say that, you know, that marijuana does this and this other thing, and if we legalize, it'll be all these, like, other random bad things will happen. What are the good things that'll happen from marijuana legalization?
Well, I think some of the obvious ones right away are getting marijuana and using marijuana will be safer. Obviously, marijuana itself is generally, it's a pretty harmless substance. But one of the problems that some people do have is if they get marijuana from a bad dealer, it could be laced with other drugs. I've known people who have gotten marijuana laced with other drugs. And you wouldn't have that problem if you were going to a mom-and-pa shop on Main Street buying the same product over and over again that's got, you know, a business reputation behind it. So buying marijuana and using marijuana would become safer because you'd be getting a more consistent, safer product. For other people, maybe more pragmatically, there's also tax revenue.
Let's talk about the, you know, you touched on something just now that I think is it's interesting and it's important. It's this idea that legal businesses often act differently from illegal businesses. Legal businesses don't lace their products with PCP. If I go and buy a box of Cheerios, I'm not thinking in the back of my head, maybe there's crack in it. And the reason that I'm not thinking that is that if they did put crack in the Cheerios to make it more addictive and make me want to buy more Cheerios all the time, I could then take them to court. I could do so. I could take them to private arbitration. There's so many things that I could do that are effective and perfectly peaceful. But with a drug dealer, the only options that are left when you make drugs illegal are to settle all differences with violence. And I think that's one of the biggest tragedies of the drug war. I mean, if we legalize marijuana or we legalize other drugs, it just would mean that people who had disagreements could settle those disagreements just like any normal person settles business disagreements in any other part of the world.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, with drug war and with some other things, I think we've really propagated and propped up the gangs and the gang violence in our country. I mean, liberals end up talking about, oh, it's guns. Guns are the problem. Well, most people that are getting killed by gangs, and most of them are gang members. If we were to take steps to get rid of or legalize the industries that gangs are currently monopolizing in the black market underground, the gangs wouldn't be there anymore. If drugs were legal, if prostitution was legal, if gambling was legal, we wouldn't have these problems anymore. Gangs would go out of business. Mom-and-pa shops would be able to do things cheaper, safer, and more efficiently. And the need for gangs would diminish, and eventually they'd run out of business.
Let's talk about some of the other parts of your platform. And I see there's so many different areas on there, and I mean, we could probably talk for 5 hours about all of them. But what are some of the other areas that are getting some of the biggest responses? You know, when you talk to voters, talk to other libertarians, what are some of the things that people are especially excited about?
Well, some of the things that a lot of people are excited about, because it is a conservative district, is gun rights. I'm pro-constitutional carry, and I'm pro-campus carry, and generally pro-gun. But some of the other things that I've tried to focus on.
I wanted to actually talk about that last one a little bit. Let's, you know, a lot of people don't understand what these different things are. Explain a little bit, what is constitutional carry and when, why is that good?
Well, constitutional carry is the idea that the Constitution is the only concealed carry permit you need, and mm-hmm. that you shouldn't need a state to give you a license to carry a weapon and protect yourself, that the Constitution already guarantees that right to you. And so 7 states across the country currently have constitutional carry. In some cases, it's only for citizens of that state or residents of that state. But in other cases, like Vermont, who's always had constitutional carry, mm-hmm. despite being a very liberal state, mm-hmm. Nobody has to have a permit in Vermont to carry any firearm in any manner.
Now, that's a really powerful message, and it's especially powerful right now on the heels of the Interpol Secretary General, I think just a couple of days ago, when talking about this new type of terrorism where, you know, terrorists aren't going after government or military installations, which tend to have their own security forces, but just going after just random places. What he basically said was, we have essentially 2 options. We can just put armed guards everywhere and the expense would be astronomical and we still probably wouldn't get them everywhere, or just have more people carrying weapons, more people able to shoot back. When the bad guys start shooting, let's make it so that the good guys can shoot back. Do you think that in this particular time, when there is a certain threat of terrorism, that could be a partial solution?
Absolutely. I think that would be a wonderful solution. I mean, what happened in France was tragic, and I think in some cases, at least in some of the locations, it could have been minimized greatly by allowing citizens to shoot back. You know, like I was talking about with constitutional carry and talking about Vermont. Vermont is consistently the safest or the second safest state in the country and has a murder rate well below that of most Western European countries, like mm-hmm. France.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I don't understand why people continue to think that this is going to hurt and continue to think that this is going to make situations worse. I hear a lot of irrational arguments like, oh, well, what happens when the concealed carry holders start shooting? Then you get a bunch of people shooting, and then more innocent people are going to get hit. But that's so illogical, because if you don't shoot back, you're all going to get hit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen that just in so many different situations, that the biggest atrocities, so many of these tragedies either happen in places where guns are very difficult to have, or in places where guns are illegal, these gun-free zones at military bases and schools. We've seen so many of these horrific tragedies. And it's not all just from, you know, terrorists from the Arab world or terrorists from one. I mean, you know, like Sandy Hook, that was, you know, just a guy that had gone kind of crazy. I mean, that was just, it wasn't a radical, mm-hmm. you know, jihadist. It was just a guy. And that yeah. guy could have been stopped by just, you know, a couple other guys if they were allowed to carry guns. But instead, there was a sign out in front of that school that said, if you want to shoot everybody and not have anybody shoot back, this is the place for you. If you're elected,
exactly.
would you find ways, I mean, would you be willing to sponsor or co-sponsor legislation that would get rid of these gun-free zones and allow more of that constitutional carry?
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. And currently, there is a political climate that might be open to some of that. But not necessarily all of it. Currently, Republicans control the state legislature and the governorship in Wisconsin, and they have been passing some pro-gun legislation. And one of the things that's in the legislature right now, but is kind of in shelved, is campus carry. And I've mm-hmm. been a campus carry activist for several years, and right now they're shelving it because even among Republicans, there's a lot of Republicans that are saying, well, the students don't want this, and largely students don't want this. They aren't thinking rationally about it. And so they want survey data before they actually proceed with it. So it's being shelved okay. for basically about a year, because almost all of the next year, the legislature isn't in session because everybody will be home campaigning.
Now, I mean, college students do sometimes have a reputation for irrationality. I mean, you know, there's not everyone in their right mind would pay $50,000 a year to do a bunch of drugs and major in something silly. But more and more college students we've seen are coming around. I mean, Students for Liberty is growing so much, bringing so much, such a positive influence to campuses around the world. Do you think that organizations like that might be able to help push the tide in a more useful direction by talking to other students, convincing students that campus carry will make you safer?
I think they will, and they are turning students around and getting some students to actually think about these things. Really, I mean, the biggest thing we can ask is to have people think about these things instead of thinking and acting impulsively and coming up with knee-jerk reactions and just saying no right away. So the biggest hurdle is getting people to think about it and actually weigh the pros and cons. And Young Americans for Liberty and Students for Liberty are really good at doing that. But unfortunately, you can't talk to 14,000 students at once. And a lot of campuses, they put up a lot of roadblocks to getting attention. And some of them aren't even intentional. Some of them are just students that rip down signs and things like that. And you can't get your message out.
And I think that is something that will either change, or you know, people are going to stop taking colleges seriously as a place of any kind of serious intellectual discourse. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the other issues that you're working on right after this break. If somebody wants to find more about your campaign, where's the best place for them to go?
You can go to my Facebook page. Just search Jordan Hansen for 54th State Assembly. We have a website that is in the works right now. It should be out in a couple of weeks, and that's electjordanhansen.com.
Great. Now, guys, you can see that Jordan is doing so much good work. You can see that he's working to downsize government. He's working to enhance individual liberties. He's working to reduce the unnecessary crime associated with drugs. And he's working to make sure that any terrorist or any violent person will think very long and very hard before opening fire in any part of America, because with more people like Jordan Hansen, there's going to be more Americans armed. No one's going to know who it is, and they're going to have to, you know, be very, very cautious. But it's not going to happen with just one person. Jordan needs your help, and if you want to help make these changes real, if you want to make sure that any terrorist is being like, well, I'll attack any country, but I'm not attacking America because those guys are armed and ready. If you want to make sure that the cartels, the violent cartels, in a few days or a few months are saying, well, if we can't sell marijuana, I guess we don't have money to buy bullets, so I guess we were shutting down shop. If you want to make sure that people have drug disagreements can just settle their differences in arbitration or in courts like sane people, then you need to do what Jordan is doing, and that means you need to run for office. You got to get to lp.org/states, get in touch with your state, and find out how to get involved in either a libertarian campaign that's already going, like Jordan's campaign, or to start your own campaign, run for office. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We'll be right back after this with Jordan Hansen.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
The schizophrenia community faces tough challenges every day. The community includes individuals living with schizophrenia, their partners, parents, children, siblings, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and also their providers of health care and social services. To hear Dr. Gordon Atherley introduce members of the schizophrenia community who are sharing their experiences, tune in to Schizophrenia Community Radio every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news. Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing. How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy, and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth.
turning hard times into good times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. With me right now is Jordan Hansen. He's running for 54th State Assembly in Wisconsin. Jordan, corruption and crony capitalism have grown so much that they don't even hide it anymore. At this point, we're seeing more and more states that are bragging about their crony capitalism. They are bragging. They're saying, listen, we have public-private partnerships. How good is that? Now, when I look at stuff like that, I'm saying, what do you think is good about crony capitalism? Why do you think that's something worth bragging about? That's supposed to be something you do in a back room. You're supposed to hide it. You're supposed to be embarrassed by it, not tell the world about it. At least have the decency to hide your corruption. But more and more places are just, you know, openly being corrupt. What is the status with corruption and crony capitalism in Wisconsin? What are some of the things that you might do about it?
One of the biggest things that's been in the news, not recently, but a couple months ago, was the Bucks' new stadium. The Milwaukee Bucks are getting a new stadium with several hundred million dollars of public financing. And Wisconsin has a bit of a tradition of that. In the Milwaukee area, in the five Milwaukee area counties, they have a higher sales tax, an extra stadium tax, they call it, to pay for Miller Park where the Brewers play. So that's an issue that's been in the news. The one issue that hasn't been in the news as much, I'm focusing on, and it will be one of the first things I would do if elected, would be trying to abolish the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, the WEDC, which simply funnels taxpayer dollars to large corporations in an attempt to try to get them to create more jobs. In reality, all that's happened is the corporations have pocketed the money and created a couple handfuls of jobs, and it's cost of Wisconsin $70 or $80 million at this point.
Now, there's a kind of desperation that's happening across the country, where people are saying we need jobs, and I think they're right. You know, an economy does benefit when people have employment. And they're turning to these bizarre schemes like the one you're describing, which is let's bribe some corporations to come in and, you know, kind of move a couple of jobs around here and there. What is the real way to create jobs? I mean, how would you go about this process of increasing employment, of creating jobs?
Well, lowering taxes is a big thing, but lowering taxes is really difficult. Something that's a little bit easier, especially given the current political climate in Wisconsin, is deregulation. Recently, a bill was passed that my opponent voted against, and I don't understand the rationale behind voting against this, but it was a state bill that limited municipalities' abilities to regulate and limit the number of professional licenses it gives. The city of Oshkosh, where I live, for example, to say, well, we're only going to issue a license to five hairdressers. So there can only be five establishments that cut hair. That's a really big one across the country is cosmetology. But it also previously allowed municipalities to regulate all kinds of professional industries. And this bill prohibits at least some of that regulation and some of those licensing requirements, because across the country it's costing several hundred billion dollars in economic growth.
You know, I have my own business, and when I wanted to be above board, if I want to get my, whatever licenses I need, I literally called the state licensing division, and even they couldn't figure it out. They're like, we're not really sure what you need. Maybe this. I don't know. Now, the reason that I bring that up is if you emphasize licensing and make all these hurdles and regulations and all that, you're going to get a lot of people with businesses who are good at dealing with silly paperwork. Sometimes people who are good at cutting hair are also really good at dealing with silly paperwork. Sometimes people who are good at plumbing are really good at dealing with stupid paperwork. But a lot of times people have a skill in something and they don't also coincidentally have that skill in totally stupid, pointless paperwork. What do you see in terms of service quality by getting rid of some of these license requirements? How will customers in Wisconsin benefit?
Well, a lot of this paperwork takes a lot of time, just like dealing with our messy 70,000-page tax code. Obviously, that's a federal issue, but a simplified tax code would go a long way in helping businesses provide better service to their customers and save money doing it, and those savings will get passed down to the consumers. If a corporation has to spend millions of dollars on accountants every year to do their taxes, then that money has to come from somewhere, and that comes from their products. As far as regulations and the licensing goes, it's a huge hassle for small businesses, especially if it's just one person and a couple small employees. You know, that one person's already running around like a chicken with their head cut off, you know, keeping their small business going and trying to expand and grow and establish themselves. And for a new small business, especially for somebody that doesn't have a background in silly paperwork, I don't know who does have a background in silly paperwork. I don't. For those people that don't have a background in silly paperwork, I can't even imagine. It must be daunting trying to get off the ground. And if you can't get off the ground, you can't get anywhere.
And we're seeing that places where there are not these just Byzantine and ridiculous requirements, more people start businesses. More people become successful. More successful people frequent other businesses. There are more jobs in places where it's easier to start a business. There are more jobs in places where the government doesn't try to take away people's basic right to work. And, you know, I think that if we get more people like you, either elected or honestly just running and scaring the Democrats and Republicans into behaving themselves, we're going to see more and more of that. Kevin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today and sharing, you know, information about your campaign and letting the voters know what they're going to get if they elect you. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, I'm glad to have been here.
Guys, if you want to find out more about Jordan Hansen and his campaign, you can go to facebook.com/ Jordan Hansen 54th, and that last name is spelled Hansen. Now, Jordan and people like Sean and some of our guests coming up next week and the weeks after are doing so much. They are getting these ideas out there, and that means they're giving literally tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in media coverage to Liberty. They are advertising for liberty. They are ambassadors for liberty. They are getting liberty into the media. So that's one thing they're doing. But more importantly, as we already have seen with Sean Hahn in 2014, so many other candidates in 2014, and I'm sure we'll see with Sean, with Jordan, with so many people in 2016, is that when libertarians run for office, they scare Democrats and Republicans into behaving themselves. They let Democrats and Republicans know that their choices are to just act like decent people, stop the corruption, stop the crony capitalism, stop regulating people out of existence, or get kicked out. If you want to make that happen, you need to get to lp.org/states. And you can either get involved in a libertarian campaign that already exists or run for office yourself as a libertarian. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvind Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.